I need five copies, sorry. I always do one.
It's okay.
You told me you didn't want
to. Yeah, I can't probably do the same time,
John. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Okay, so like, it's just a bumper week, but I'm not necessarily going to do every single one. At least not inside, sometimes just the question or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like the first one, Baruch Hashem, like kind of we were wondering, so it's a good heads up, yeah? So it's just in the Mishnah, right? And it has all these different drashas. So it says Adama it excludes where it's kind of covered with a gull, whatever it is, like rocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose, but Adama has to be kind of directly open to the land and exposed, I guess. And then it says Nofel. It's falling, right? Which means it's fallen. Sorry. Yeah. On the ground. Right, yeah. Fallen. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And not hanging from a tree. Yeah. And then Sada, and then it's not kind of floating in the water. And we were basically all bothered by, like, well, wait a sec, like, this idea that, the you know, not hanging by the tree and not in the water, why can't you just say it's also from Adama?
Right.
Like, it has to be, like, on the ground and directly without anything covering it, you know, so you could say, well, it's not in the tree and it's not on the water.
Right.
So basically, Rishash does ask this, and he answers the part of it in terms of the tree, but he leaves it difficult in terms of the water, yeah?
It's not unusual that a mute is... You do the minimum that you
require to meet. I suppose, yeah, but why would you? I'm saying, in terms of how would you differentiate? Because I'm saying it's
why
not.
Why are you choosing that one for this one?
Yeah, well, not only why you're choosing, but it seems to be the same concept. It's just like different varied. I mean, you know, you wouldn't say if it's covered by stones and if it's covered by bricks and if it's covered by, like, I'm saying it's just. It's you know what why insofar as the klal would be Adama means it has to be on the ground, yeah, and you know on the ground I suppose, yeah, then that surely would exclude if it's in the water. I mean it's partial shell almost.
Yeah.
But when we're excluding something, we exclude the minimum.
It's true. But we learn in yeshiva that is true. But if something's partial peshat, it doesn't go into those rules. I mean, if this is what the word means, then it's just automatically
within the cloud already that's being excluded. Yeah. It's like sometimes you have to differentiate.
Like cloud from cloud, then you do once again, but just a single word.
Right. Use, I don't know. Yeah. You're correct. So, but why not in posh shot? Does Adama not exclude these?
Yeah, that was what we were
both. Right. That's what question that is.
Okay, good. So
the Rishash here is number one. He says min ba'adama, right, from the word ba'adama, lo matzilimuti ilan, right? You can't exclude if it's not on the land but it's in the tree, yeah? Mishum to have a nikra gam kein adama, right, lashon mikra. Because he says, like, what he's struggling with, it gets to the same thing, Petz, I think, because he's saying, like, as long as you could fit it within the parsha pshat of the lashon, then Nachanami wouldn't necessarily be excluded. But then he has to say, well, that you kind of consider the tree as being an extension of Adama. You see what I mean? That's how he's getting around that. Commercial class of Brachas, which is a Chiddush to me, yeah? Right. Belav hachin nira, tahad memarit talu bi'ilan, hainu afilu raglav nergas baret. Or you could say, it is on the Adama, and it's kind of feet are touching the Adama, it's just the rest of it is hanging in the tree. So
right.
It maybe gets to the similar thing you're saying, but you still have to connect it. You have to say within, if you had just said Adama, it would fall within the Pasha Pasha of what that means. Yeah? And therefore you wouldn't exclude anything more. Yeah? Therefore that's why you need a second Rasha of Nofel, as you were saying. Ach ksat kasha, madui lo mamat safar pneamai, min ba Adama. Because l'chora, that is hard to, unless it's just the water, I mean he doesn't say this, but unless you say the water is also a kiyum of Adama, he's understanding if it's floating in the water, it's definitely not Pasha Pasha on the Adama.
It's wet ground.
Or wet ground, yeah. Anyway, he leaves that as a question. Okay, now next slide is absolutely fascinating, I think, yeah? Now, question number two, yeah? So we say in the Mishnah, right? Nimsa Samach Tzfar, right? If it's next to the border, right? Or the Ish Ruba Akum, or a city where the majority of the people in that city are non-Jews, yeah? Then lo orifin. We're not going to go through the whole procedure. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So two connected questions is, one, what is actually, I don't know whether everyone thought about this, what's the reason for those dinim? Why would it say if it's the border city or if it's Ruba Goyim? So why would it be excluded? Mm-hmm. I mean, just Mishnah says so, but why? Mm-hmm. Right? But also, why Dafka would it be if a majority of the city are non-Jews? Yeah, and we'll see that's not necessarily so simple. Yeah. So the truth is, the Gemara itself. So we're looking ahead a bit.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I knew you were about to say. Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, I can't.
So the Gemara, although you see that, so if you look at number 2, the first part, I'm just quoting the Gemara. It's just one line in the Gemara, which is obviously important, but in order to address this question, so it says Dichtiv. It gives a drash. It says Dichtiv ki yimatzer, if it's found. Yeah. Para prat, that excludes the matsui. Yeah, something which is already found. Or now the question is how you translate that. So I'm being
more frequent.
Yeah, well, okay, frequent, exactly. Well, that's how Rashi's gonna say, okay, that's how Rashi's gonna translate it, like you're saying. Perush Rashi, I'm quoting Rashi there. Tade, which sounds like you're saying, it's very common. Yeah. Kigon, alright, Svar or Shiruba Makum. For instance, if it's on a, i.e. we're saying if it's like by the border or it's near a city where majority are non-Jews, you're going to find a lot of corpses lying around those kind of areas, yeah? So that's quite interesting. Now, the Bartanura and maybe others have a different girsa on Matsui, Prat le Matsui, and they say Prat le Mamsi, right? Esatsmo, excludes a case where he kind of, Mamsi, I don't know how to translate it.
He put himself into that situation.
Exactly, very good. He put himself in that situation, yeah?
He's accountable.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what he said. So, sorry, I'm kind of reading. Ki'ilu himsa atzmo lemisahu. It's as if he's caused his own death. Yeah. Right. And then basically, and the first Yisrael on the Mishnah says, yeah, because of the fact that he, like, if in a city where there's majority non-Jews, because he went there on his own. And I was thinking, according to that, it kind of makes sense, yeah, that it's a majority like non-Jews, because it kind of becomes a more dangerous place. Like,
right.
You went to Harlem or whatever it is, you know.
Mossai.
Right, he went somewhere a bit dangerous. Yeah. So okay, so far that those are kind of svaras, yeah. At least, but in terms of here, the Rambam's fascinating, because the Rambam actually says slightly different svar, and this is the next one down. He says nimsa samach svar all the ishyesh by goyim a modim kol ikka shahari becheskes shahari guhu goyim. Right, you don't need to measure because we know that it wasn't killed by a Jew. I think the implication is that the whole procedure is really because we're worried that he's been killed by someone Jewish, yeah? And therefore we need a kapara and we need to, we caused it. But it sounds like if it's a chazaka that he's been killed by a non-Jew, then this procedure is not, I mean, it's a terrible thing, but it's not, you don't go through that procedure.
There's two things. First of all, are you doing it because they should have escorted him out of the
Right.
So
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
No,
Gil, he's going back. He's going back. Just look, relax, Gil, and go back to what we already know. Remember, what did they make a declaration? We didn't. Yeah, we didn't set him out.
We said
without provisions.
Yeah, we said earlier.
Yeah. We didn't
say. The Mishnah says as for a place where the.
Yeah, we're bringing other things into the equation. We're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The second thing is that even later in the paragraph it says once they were murderers bounded, then they slapped them.
Well, right. I mean, that itself would fit with the Peshat. That would,
right.
Well, that would fit with the Peshat. Sounds like Rashi's saying that it's like, you know, sometimes when you know, it's a special procedure and it's meant to shock people. And if it's happening all the time, it's like, oh, another regular roofer, you know, who cares? I'm not turning up for that, you know.
Right.
But the Rambam, I don't know. It's a good question, but he seems to be understanding. It's part of it at least. It's not. Sometimes there are different reasons, you know. So even though yes, they're saying we should have escorted him, whatever, yeah. But I suppose if
he's saying you put yourself in danger, don't blame us for it.
Well, that's the Bartanura. But no, here there's a big difference between them, because if you look at the Rambam, and this is what everyone talks about, yeah, the Rambam doesn't say that most of them are non-Jewish. He says it's very clear. He says since it's city shiyesh bagoyim, doesn't need to be. And lechore, it makes sense, right? Because he comes along and he says there's a chazaka that goyim would have killed him. Now if it's a majority of goyim, you don't need a chazaka. Chazaka is like a technical thing, like these people a chazaka, these people are more likely to have done it because they're more violent. Yeah, but if it's usually if it's a rove, yeah, you don't need a chazaka. You say, well, you go after the rove without, even if they're all the same, but you know, one is, you know, in terms of likely to kill. So basically everyone picks up on this, yeah. And you know, there's a note actually on our Hagios Psionim on that part of the Mishnah, mm-hmm. yeah, that actually brings Ksav Yad and also brings the Yerushalmi that don't say Rubam. If you look at it, you'll see that it takes out it has different use. So don't say Rubam Goyim, just say Ish Yesh Begoyim. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the two seemed connected. So they're basically what comes out from all of this is there could be various reasons, yeah, and which could be also Talui on the Gersus or whatever. It's a very interesting point.
There's whether you mentioned the Hilchos Eruv, it says one Jew is living with Goyim, one because we're not worried he's going to live there, but two Jews live with Goyim, the self-support system.
Mm-hmm. Right. Although that's more the Rabbanan, right? That we're
trying to Rabbanan, yeah.
No, but here is derisus Eger Rufa.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's more we don't want Jews. You're right, because they're dangerous. We don't want Jews living with coin because they're dangerous.
The Rabbanan is because it's a fact that people are going to be more scared when they have more support. They won't be.
Well, in terms of Eruvin, yeah. Yeah, it's a similar concept that basically the coin we're talking about are dangerous coin. That's why you're saying, yeah.
By default,
yeah. Okay, now this is another, it's a number three, yeah, right? So we said within Rem Shimon, when we were speaking out with Rem Shimon, yeah, we said that had a bit, reason why he needs also, you know, Knecha and Shoftecha, we said, because had a bit written just Zikne, yeah, whatever, you would have thought that would have been Zikne Hashuk, yeah? Now, one of the questions that is asked here by the Tosafos HaRosh is, we'll see later on that the pasuk of Ziknei Ha'ir, we understand, automatically means based in. So the Lashon of Ziknei doesn't seems to mean that it has to be Dayanu. Yeah?
Oh, just Ziknei alone.
Ziknei alone, yeah. So here, what does it mean by Ziknei Hashuk? Yeah? So Tosafos HaRosh just makes a distinction between them and says, no, maybe here Ziknei Hashuk is different for whatever reason. I won't read that, but it's just important to note that Rashi, if you look at Rashi carefully, yeah, he says his says in, when it's a Ziknei Hashuk, he says Afal Pisha Einam Sanhedrin, even though they're not Sanhedrin, yeah. And the Ran, there's a parallel sugya. By the way, our sugya is parallel in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Yeah. So Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Ran there, Yesh Kedusha Ran says the following. He says Ziknei Hashuk Perush Smuchim Mumchim, i.e. not talking about elderly people just in the shuk. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people who are capable of being based in. Yeah, they're sitting there. They're dayanim. Yeah, ela she'enam meminyan hasanhedrin, but they're not in a part of the minion of the Sanhedrin Katana or the Sanhedrin Gedola. I.e. Sanhedrin Katana being 23 or the 70, whatever it is. Yeah, so they're in theory they're dayanim. You know, they're respectable, very, you know, chashuv people, right? But that's what he mean by Ziknei Hashuk, and he says v'chein perush Rashi. And I think he could be referring to our Rashi, because our Rashi is meduyak. Yeah, he doesn't say that you know they're kind of just people sitting around in the shuk is how we would have translated it. He kind of goes out of his way to say afar pisha einan Sanhedrin sounds like they are chashuv people, right? So it comes out then. It sounds like in terms of this havramin of Ziknei Hashuk, the Tosafos HaRosh is understanding that mamash it's just elderly people in the shuk.
Right.
And Rashi and the Ram would be understanding, no, like just like Ziknei Ha'ir, they have to be Dayanim. It's just they're not part of any Sanhedrin, like big, you know, 23 or 70. And it's important, I think it's an important point to note. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the next one, number four, right? So we say Iksiv Ziknecha Havramina Sanhedrin Katana, yeah, and then it says Kasav Rachmana Shuftecha, right, and therefore it bumps it up, yeah, and it goes, you go, it's not just people on the 23, it has to be from the Sanhedrin Gadol, and that's Rib Shimon, right? So you've got basically, if I had have just said Ziknei, it would have been what we've just said, like, you know, in terms of just Dayanim or people in the Shuk. So it says Ziknecha, that means the Sanhedrin Katana. Yeah, and then we go Shoftecha takes you to the big Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw that as mechab into this marasha. Yeah, but we were kind of asking, why don't you just write Shoftecha? Shoftecha sounds like that's the big Sanhedrin. So just write Shoftecha. What's the drasha of Ziknei Ziknecha? Just jump straight to Shoftecha and drash on that. Yeah, I think the simple answer that the marasha gives is no. It's kind of two drashas. You always have to have two drushes, because let's say you have just said Shoftecha, then you would have also said just means Sanhedrin Katana. Shoftecha doesn't itself mean Sanhedrin, the big Sanhedrin. It's always kind of when you've got, there's potential two stages you have to go through, therefore two drushes. Yeah? That's kind of the pattern that comes out. Okay.
In the land of Rebbe Shimon, we need to Nechon to teach us too, and Shotevra is teaching us a special rule. And we throw out this particular shot of Rebbe Yehuda because the Chol has come to tell you your special ones. Obviously, Knechon, Zikne is for two, and he's looking to Shotevra to add up to another two, making it four. So, where's the question?
Wait a second. So, let's take Rebbe Shimon, yeah, right. Let's just be clear. So, in Maskana, yeah, let's say for Rebbe Shimon, right? So, you're right. So, Knecha is telling you two, right? But why is it teaching you two, right? Because it's plural, right? Right. So why do you have ziknecha, that yours, as opposed to zikne? So that's part of the drasha of telling you that it's
part of Rebbe Shimon's drasha.
Yeah, but Rebbe Yehuda will end up agreeing with that, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, but we throw out this.
I'm not sure there's disagreement on that.
Right.
Are you the ziknecha, the yours a Canaan? Is going to tell you it's not just stung, it's a canim in the shuk. That's first.
Right, but we're using the chol, zikanecho, in the yep. first shot of Rebbe Yehuda to show that he's using the chol to show you that it's the special ones, but he's using the zikanei to teach you too.
Good. Everyone, but I'm saying, even Maskana, everyone will agree with that, yeah? But what I'm pointing out is everyone will also agree that you need shoftecha to also teach you special ones. So what I'm saying is in the Maskana, everyone will agree that there's two drushes that tell you that they're very, very special ones, the Sanhedrin. There's the Knecha, your elders, plural, and there's Shoftecha, right, which is superfluous, which is telling you and they're from the Sanhedrin God. But what I'm saying is I think both Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have those two drushes. The only question is then, the only machlokes is, what about the V of the Shoftecha? Is vert kind of also an extra drush that tells you an extra two or not? That's the only one.
Just through revolve.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. The whole point. It can't be that because it's problematic. No, exactly. That's the whole point.
So yeah, I mean, so part of what I'm saying is there that if in the Maskana we're always going to say there's two drushes. Yeah, there's your elders and there's also Shoftecha. You also need. Yeah, it ends up being in order to learn the Sanhedrin Gadol, you do need those two drushes. So I'm just, the question we kind of, I was bothered by when I was learning it, yeah? I mean, it's right from the beginning of Rav Shimon, when he says to Kenech and the Shoftecha, you know, is why can't you just say Shoftecha is Sanhedrin Gadol? I think the answer Masha is giving is, no, that Be'etzem, you always have those two stages, because Shoftecha, had if you only had Shoftecha, like say it had said Zikne Shoftecha, right? Then you would have said, yeah, maybe it's just a Sanhedrin Katan. And therefore, it's always those two things, levels that you have to bump up. I thought that was just kind of an important point to know. Okay, we're kind of running out of time. I'm going to start like skipping things, yeah? Even though there's lots of important parts of it. I think people were all bothered by this, yeah? When we were learning it, yeah? In the Gemara it says Elam Ata, but what about, but if once we're starting darting numbers, what about the Yetsu, what about right. Madadu, yeah? I'm just putting this out there that everyone talks about this, which I think everyone was bothered by, is don't we need those words for the Pashat Peshat? How can you start like
right, yeah, yeah, no, people, yeah,
another
yeah,
two, yeah,
people
two,
bother about,
saying
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah. Right.
Yeah? I mean, I think that's a tremendously important question, yeah? And I'm not going to go through, but if you want to look, there's these three, there's the Yad Ramah, it's a Rishon, yeah? And then there's two Achorim here, the Oracle in there and the Keren Ova.
Yad Ramah and Sanhedrin.
Yeah, on Sanhedrin. Yeah. Well, no, so the Keren Ora is here.
There's two studios, right.
So they deal with it and they say various suggestions and whatever it is, but I just thought the question maybe is more important. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, and
yeah,
maybe...
That's very similar. If he's just using plural words, he's not using the vault, he doesn't touch on
it. Right.
So we haven't got to seven, the very similar, I think, was a question.
Why? Because that'd be okay. Because somehow, let's say you could say the words are superfluous, right? Then yeah, you'd be darshing the words, right? Are you assuming that the drasha is because of the vav?
Oh, we know the Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold the vav,
right?
But he gets the seven,
correct?
Which means he's adding four, so he's using just the plurals of the word.
Yeah. That's partial. Yeah, that seems true. But by what I thought you were, one of the Achronim wants to say, by the way, this is the Oracle Net, wants to suggest, no, the words aren't superfluous, but the vavs are. But then he rejects it because of your reasoning. So you are, maybe you're becoming, you said, but wait a sec, but it says Rav Shimon also.
Well,
Right. So anyway, that's right. So you're mechamen. So they, everyone has to try to say the word seemingly that the words are superfluous, not just like the yatsu and the matadu.
We also asked how the possible could even work with that involved in shotecha.
Ah no, so that's an important point. I haven't covered that, yeah. But Tucker, you know what? It's such a yisodetik thing that okay, I'll go back a bit. I haven't quoted inside, but I saw the Chidushi Hamalbum, yeah, number 6. He wants to say that that is the whole machlokus is like a grammatical point between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is that where you want to say have two words and they're describing the same thing, yeah? Is it would it be better to say zakenim v'shoftim, but sometimes in Torah he shows that can be described as talking about the same person and you use tukum with a vav, right? Or would it be better to say zakenim shoftim without a vav? And then because it's without a vav and it's just two words without a vav, then they go together better. And he says that is the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it'd be better to write it without a vav, right? In the natural way to write it, if you were trying to say two words and referring to the same person, it would say zakenecha shoftecha. And therefore, the extra vav isn't grammatically kind of the way you describe it if you were trying to put them together, right? And elamai, so therefore the vav would be darshan. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no. And that actually, the better way to write it when you're trying to describe them together is shoftecha, is kenecha v'shoftecha. Therefore, that's why here he doesn't darshan the vav, because the vav is needed to put them together.
To describe as a penecha.
Yeah, exactly. So Tucker, and it ends up being, according to the Kedusha Malbim, that actually it's not a general klal that Reb Shimon doesn't darshan vavs. Maybe he does, yeah? It's just here, in this local context, he doesn't darshan the vavs.
Which means he could be darshan the vav of Yom Sa'ub from
London. That's exactly what I wrote down here. Yeah, that was by a Kiddush, but yeah, you're going to come to that, yeah. Very nice, yeah. Anyway, there's a big discussion about those points. Okay, we're basically going to fit, but these are two important questions. Yeah, jump to number 10 now. 10 is a tremendously important question, yeah? When you think about it, sometimes, you know, you have to just have your head screwed on with these cheshbonos. But when we get into Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, he says the kenecha ends up being the Sanhedrin, like the whole Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. yeah? And then shoftecha is the melech and the kohen gadol. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this the Marasha and Sanhedrin asked this question, and we should have. I kick myself. I shouldn't be bothered by this. Yeah. How on earth does he learn, right, that Zekenecha means the Sanhedrin Gadol? Until now, we've always said, yeah, Zekenecha. Mm-hmm. Everyone who says Zekenecha on its own mm-hmm. will never tell you that. They all need Shoftecha to tell you it's the Sanhedrin Gadol, right? Because even though it says, let's say Zekenecha, that only bumps you up one. We said, like, right, but Zikne would be Shuk, Zekenecha may be Sanhedrin Katon. Yeah, mm-hmm. But they always need those two drushes, right. Zekenecha, right. Your Zekenim, mm-hmm. and Shoftecha. And yet here we see Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov somehow like says, no, Zekenecha on its own, yeah, means Sanhedrin Gadol. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the answer, it's a technical thing on the Marasha, but the question is a fantastic question. And then the last one, just to reassure everyone, because people bother by this, yeah, I think it was Ephraim, yeah, if I remember correctly, asked this, yeah. He says Kohen Gadol. Melech and Kohen Gadol. Why Kohen Gadol? Because it says Kohanim and whatever. Mm-hmm. But he said, well, where do you get Kohen Gadol from? Yeah. Right. So Tosfos HaRosh addresses that question. Yeah. And just to mention the Sefer, because I want to mention the Sefer, that the Nachal Esan, yeah, also kind of has a whole arichas on this. And I want to mention it because to people who know the Nachal Esan is, so Nachal Esan, right? Was Rev Kanievsky. Yeah, and it was his first major work. He has a whole sefer on Egla Rufa. Yeah, and of course Nachal Esan, because that's what he wrote in the last week's parsha. Right, you have to, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you do the Egla Rufa. Right. And it's like an amazing sefer, right? But I mean, you know, you see his kias and whatever, like just a whole. But imagine a whole sefer on Egla Rufa, Rav Kanievsky. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's it, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So we are at Shabbos or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. One is if you say, for example, you find a floating body without a head or whatever.
Oh, wow, that sounds gruesome.
But we're going to speak about decapitated people in the Mishnah.
Well, this is the head.
Maybe the murder didn't take place, like,
We're going to speak about
the murder generally takes place on the Adamah.
Right.
It's just a shayla, meaning if you saw a body floating, it seemed like it would happen.